Okay, great. So, what did we discover last week? Well, if you go straight to the Marmakomas, we had an investigation about this fire that took place in the hotel. And people had to leave in the middle of their holiday, and they lost days of their holiday, and they wanted their money compensated. But there was an illness happened that the hotel burned down. Oh, a portion of the hotel was destroyed in that fire, and the hotel refused to give the money back, and it came to din term. Was they allowed to keep the money? There's an onus. They say, the onus, I've really got the money, I don't want to give it back. That we saw machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Ramah, on the face of things, it like the Shulchan Aruch says the following, Hamaskeh bais lechaver lezman, somebody who rents a house for a certain time period, 5, 6, 7 days, then an atzer nofel, and it fell down in the course of the rental. If Omele by saying, he said, look, I'm only renting this house out as part of the contract. I didn't have to build you a new house just to finish off the contract, because it was only this house that you were entitled to in the first place. But I have to work out how much to pay you, that the payment is only what you use. And you didn't use the 7 days which you wanted. You only have to pay 5 days. So according to Shulchan Aruch, you get your money back. According to Shulchan Aruch, you get your money back because you only have to pay for what you use. But the Ramah brings down the Shitta that says, Sarach Litzen Kol HaSchiris, that you do need to give all the Schiris. You do need to pay for all of it. Even if it fell down, you have to pay for it. And the concept behind that is we understood the Machlokas, which is Betzim spoken out by Rav Wasserman. They said the Machlokas is when you rent something, are you now Kehilu, the owner of what you rent? Have you now taken possession of what you're renting? And of course, if you buy an item and then it blows up on the onus, then of course you don't get compensation. Hey, I didn't get all the use out of it because you already bought it. So it's now your muzzle. That's the concept with the Ramah's going with. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch is going with the concept that Schiris is not like buying. Schiris is you're asking for them to provide certain service. And therefore you pay to service. So whatever service you receive, you pay. I only got 5 days out of the seven. You only have to get the money back. That was the Machlokas back. And we said that probably that's what the Machlokas is going to be, the Pesach Halacha in this hotel business. Do you get your money back? Machlokas. And according to Ashkenazim, we relate to the Machlokas and we'll say wherever the money is. And in this case, the money is in the hands of the hoteler. And therefore, maybe you can say, Kimli, that I go like the Ramah's opinion, the Ramah that brings down the Shitta, that's like a mecha, you bought something, you now have to suffer the onus, because like anything you buy, you can't now go back after its onus happens, and then you can't use it to get your money back. So here also, they can't get their money back for the 7 days, even though they got a use out of it, 5 or 3 days, whatever it was in the hotel they were. So according to the Ramah, according to Ashkenazim, you won't be able to get your money back under those circumstances. That's how the kids, we said last week, should be that based on that machlokas. Now, let's go to start getting into Corona shailas. But before that, let's ask a very similar shaila to Corona, which happened 10 years ago. And we left with this shaila last week for you to think about. And that's the following. If you go back to the Mara Makoma sheet, let's see the picture of what happened 10 years ago.
Hold on. Hold on. Which picture?
That go down to number two, just before number two. Go down. Yeah, that picture. Come down. Okay. So here we have the situation that happened 10 years ago in near Haifa, the Carmel Mountains. Huge fire. On the right-hand side, you see the fire in the process. Left-hand side is the after effect of the fire. And, of course, we had similar shailas that came up in those circumstances that people were already in hotels, already in their simmers, already halfway through their contracts, so to speak, of being provided by the services of the hotels, and they had to leave, and they couldn't go back, and they couldn't recover their holiday. They lost out on their holiday, which they were there, but they saved their lives at least. So the question was, do they get their money back? Very similar to the shaila which you didn't ask. Now, what's the difference now? What's the difference between this shaila and the shaila in the hotel, which was on fire? The slight difference between the hotel fire and the Carmel mountain fire. What would you say is the difference in defining it? Just defining what happened. How is it different in such a way?
If you're already there or not?
Well, in both cases, you were over there. Both cases, you were in the middle of your holiday. And both cases, you had to evacuate to save your lives.
It affects everybody. It affects everybody.
Yeah, the Comrade.
It affects everybody. Yeah, so what's that called when it affects everybody?
Marcas Medina, I think.
Marcas Medina. Okay, so it's not just a local fire in a particular building, which was our first case. This is called a Marcas Medina onus that's happening. It's a broad onus that covers a whole section of the area of the country, and therefore, will that change the halacha? Now, what would you say logically? Would it change the halacha in whether you get your money back based on the two opinions that we have in front of us? Would it change because it's not a local onus, but it's a broad onus? Is there any reason why it should change? You could say it doesn't change. I mean, well, any answer is good. Yes, no, or don't know.
Pashas may make no difference because it's still, if you have the contract, it's still the service. So, you know, the same Sfarah would apply. It's just that you can't say the mazel garim because here it's not his mazel, it's everyone's mazel.
Okay. So, but does that got anything to do with us, whose mazel it is? What's the logic behind the Shulchan Aruch? What's the logic behind the Ramah? Logic of Shulchan Aruch is you're paying for services. What you use, you get and you pay. What you don't get, you don't pay. According to the Ramah, you bought something, a slot of time, 7 days. 7 days, you get, whether you get it or not, you've already paid, you've already bought it. And if it happens in 7 days, your problem. Now, any reason to change those logic when we come to not just a local onus, but a broad onus across a whole section of the country? Any reason to change their opinions or their expressions, which they want to say which should be the result? Any reason?
Can you say it's a mekach tos?
How's it mekatos? What's
mekatos?
What's mekatos? You sold me? What do you sell me?
Well, you sell me the rights to use it.
Yeah, but what's a mekatos normally? What's a claim of mekatos? No?
Something's different from what I.
Yeah,
thought
he gave me something. Did he give something different over here?
Okay.
At the time he bought it, was there anything faulty and wrong with it? No. So therefore, this logic on the face of things, I agree with everybody. What do I agree with? No one said anything, really. The same statement. The logic is, I don't think there should be anything different, and therefore I've got nothing to say. That's what everyone's saying. Okay? I understand what everyone's saying. I don't really come up with anything ever to say because I feel there's nothing different. Okay, so I agree with you. So let's go to what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's go to number two on the Mara Makomis. What does it say over there? We'll see something very interesting, and then we'll see what the Chazon Ish has to ask on this. Says number two, the Shulchan Aruch. Hachol kesodah mechaver. Somebody rents a field from his friend. Okay. All based on Shulchan. Okay. It's nothing, needs water. Watering. In Marcus Medina, who? If there's a Makkah Medina, Kagon, Shiyomish Bana, the river that waters all the fields here just dries up. I've got nowhere to water this field. This field is now useless. Not only my field's useless, all the fields over here are useless. They can't water them, they can't get anything out of them. So I rented a field, and now an onus happens, not a local onus, a broad onus, can't use the fields, useless, everything dries up. Okay, what's the halacha? Says the Machabe, the Shulchan Aruch, Menakele Mechakir. Yeah, he doesn't have to pay the whole rent. No, because what's rent? Rent is you're paying for a servant and you intended to get the whole year out of it and use the sod there and fine. Now you can't. So you didn't use it. So whatever you use. Okay, that's very good of the Machabe. That's what he said really before when the house fell down and the fire hotel. That's what he said. So he's saying the same thing over here. You only pay for it. You can't use it. So you get knocked off the skillet. Now, what does the Ramah say? Had the Omin and the Marcus Medina, Menachem, Chaver, Chakira? That now we say, if it's a poor donor, you have to pay less rent. Who didn't call you to that? That, yeah, that's true. And every scenario that's similar to this. So, call Mokum, Shinifsa, the Inn and the Gami, Havi Makas Mintinum. Wherever we say you just forget it, that the whole thing is useless now, in the broad concept, whatever we caused it, yeah, it's called the Makas Mintinum, it's everywhere there. And the Menachem is Schiris, you don't have to pay off all the Schiris, you get a dispensation. So, the Ramah is saying, I agree in the Machaba, I'm just making sure you don't make a mistake. It's not just this drying up of the river. That any similar case, which is broad and goes across the whole spectrum of an area, which affects your rent, that's also called Makas Mintinum, same result, you don't have to pay rent. Now, big problem over here. Machaba, I understand, Reb Machaba, the Shulchan Aruch, because that's what he said always, where you're paying for services, whatever you pay, use, you pay, whatever you don't, you can't use the whole thing, so you get off, it's an onus, you don't have to pay the whole thing. Fine. But Ramah held, you bought an item, and now anything happens, you can't go back to the guy who bought it for, it's now totally yours, nothing to do with him, onus happens, it's something that's to you, you can't go back to him and get your money, as we said before. Why is he agreeing over here? And it's not my question. Look at the Chazon Ish, look at the Asher Ish. It says, Yesh the Farish, the Afagab, the Schiris Liom Mechel, the Ramah held, when you rent something, it's like buying. Mikol Mokum, we see nevertheless in the Mishnah, and this is where the Shulchan is getting from. The Shulchan is just like quoting a Mishnah. Nevertheless, even though you bought the item, it's now totally yours, nothing to do with him, and now you can't use it because of an onus, you can still get your rent off. How? Why? You bought something. You can't, never heard of this, when I buy an item and then something that's not intrinsically wrong with it, an onus happens to it, now I can't use it, I can suddenly go back to the guy and bought it and say, oh, I can't use it, now I can't give you my money back. It's too late. Your problem, your situation, nothing to do with me. I gave you something very good. That's the Chazon Ish's question on the Ramah. And you can't say the Ramah argues, even the Ramah wants to argue, you can't argue, but it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, you can't argue a Mishnah. So what's going on over here? How can the Ramah hold what he holds originally in the position of the hotel, a local owner, where he says, well, you bought something and now you can't get your money back? When we clearly see a Mishnah that when you rent something, the onus happens, you can get your money back, and because, as explained by the Machaba, because you're not using everything. What's going on? How's the Ramah going to answer up this Mishnah, where he himself also holds a bit? What's the difference between the Ramah's case and the case of the Makas Mintinum? The hotel and the Carmel fire seem to be different results. What's going to be the answer? You bought something, how can you cry? Yes,
maybe what someone said earlier about being mazel. So meaning in the original case of the Ramah, he's saying it's your mazel. So therefore it happened after you bought it, then you suffer the loss and not the guy that you rented it from. Maja'in came with Makas Medina, so it's not anyone's individual mazel. We revert back to the original owner.
Okay, Tuli, what can I say? Does it make sense what you just said?
This is not an absolute purchase. This is not an absolute purchase. It's not like I went to the store, bought a computer, walked home with the computer. That ain't a chanami. Anything that happens is on me. We're talking about
So what's the difference? Even
though the Ramah is treating it like a purchase for all intents and purposes, but since it's not a purchase gumor, it's a temporary purchase, whether it's a rental, whether it's the service kind of thing. And therefore, instead of looking at the person's individual mazel with the Makas Medina, we go back to the grand picture. I would say further.
Now you're deserving of a compliment. No. Now, before you ruin what you say, now you deserve a compliment. I want to give you a compliment. Compliment. Now you're thinking properly. Is that if it's an absolute purchase, there's nothing to talk about. It just doesn't make sense. So the Ramah saying is a purchase. So the way to think of a possible answer, he means it's a purchase, but it's not an absolute purchase, which is what somebody's saying deserves compliments for that. Haven't yet discovered what's this semi-quasi purchase, non-purchase type of things happening. What exactly is happening over here that it is a purchase and can't get your money back when it's a local owner? But if it's a broad owners, then even we don't look at it as a purchase. How we have to develop what exactly is this quasi-purchase that's happening. But it seems to be a halacha is in the hotel on fire, then you don't get your money back. But if it's a car on fire, then you would get your money back. That seems to come out from the Shulchan Aruch back in back. We say, I definitely understand that point of Mahabat. Ramah, we don't quite understand it, but I understand there's a Mahalach. He means it's a purchase, semi-purchase. Not exactly, but what does he mean, semi-purchase, not purchase? We have to develop that concept to see exactly what it means. Okay.
Perhaps it's a difference. When you normally, when you buy something, you're buying the item. When you're renting something, you're buying the hishtamshus. If you can't be hishtamshus, then you haven't bought what you're buying. You're not buying the full item. You're not buying the bailus of the item. You're buying the right of hishtamshus for a period of time. In this
okay.
Case.
Very good. That's a further... on the wavelength of what exactly are you buying, and therefore you're not buying totally the item, you're buying the instructions of the item. Also good thinking, good on the way to an answer over here. Let's develop it further. Exactly why, okay, so it's instructions, but why should that make a difference? Sometimes you pay for it, even if something happens, sometimes you're not. Still, you have to develop it slightly bit. Let's move on. Let's move on to our next case. Okay, so we'll go to our next case. If you go down to back to the number three, here we get to our first Corona shine. Let's go move down. Yeah, so you see that picture. Corona is around and people are being put into bidud the whole time. So what's the shine over here? We have a ganenet. We have a ganenet. And then she wants a gun. She wants a gun. And she has many, obviously, little kids that come to her gun. And suddenly, she gets a phone call from Misada Briot. She's in Bidud. Bidud, and closed down the gun until for another 2 weeks. She hasn't got corona, but she's in Bidud. She can't have the gun for 2 weeks. And there's no replacement. Someone's going to take over that gun. It's that gun is closed for 2 weeks at least. So the question is she entitled for payments? Now, what's happened? She's already deposited the checks for that month already. And the question is, does she have to give back the money for those 2 weeks that there's no gun? She's in Bidud, she can't do the work. Onus happens. So onus, that's happened, that's pushed her into Bidud. She can't perform the services that she's supposed to. Does she get the money even though she's not working or not? Does the onus say, you can still keep the money? Or here the owners will say, you have to give the money back. That's the shaila of our ganenet over here. So what are we going to say over here? Has this got anything to do with what we discussed up to now?
The Chaver would say, give the money back. And Ramah would say, Ramah would say, you don't have to. Therefore, we'd be, Ashkenazim would have this machlokas of Kimli. Since she deposited the money already, she keeps it. Oh.
Does everyone agree to Tuli says? I mean, what Tuli says sounds like a bit finished to me, but anyone says what Tuli says? Agree? Yes, David, you want to say something? Everyone Shtika agrees to Tuli. That's
Koda.
Amazing. Matis can't be here because if Matis is here, he wouldn't agree to Tuli. So, now let me. Yeah, Shmuel?
I think the ganenet was responsible for giving over the, and if she can't do it, she should have the mamale makom. I think that's what's even normal. I think there's the people who are sending
in the time of corona. There's nothing called normal, and there's no such thing as somebody in time of corona having a replacement. No one, the parents don't want to take those kids to the replacement, and the replacement doesn't want to take those kids. Whoever they have no comfortability. Not feeling comfortable with the people in your house or the people in your area to take over. There's no such thing as a replacement over here. Part of the
owners. The difference here, it's a poel. It's not, before was a schiris of a karka or something. Here it's a poel, so she has a different dinim.
Now, if you're a poel, meaning a worker, can we possibly have two sides of the coin like we said before? Yeah, what were the two? When you're renting a room, in a hotel, we said, are you just paying for use or are you buying the room for 7 days? That was the two opinions. Can we have such a discussion when you're talking about a ganenet who is supplying a work, services out of her work for Gan Eitz. Have we got two sides of the coin over there?
It's just a service, not a purchase.
It's definitely a service. So when it comes to Gan Eitz, the Kol Alma, Mar would also agree over here, there's no such thing as you buying anything. Here's a service, you pay for what you get. And you've got 2 weeks, you're out, so you have to give back the money. That should be the conclusion, naturally, for the way we're thinking of what we've learned up to now. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says, number three. Shulchan Aruch, number three. Let's go straight to the Shulchan Aruch, number three. Interesting, Ramah over here in the Shulchan Aruch. At the Ramah, which brings a Mordechai. Very interesting. He says the following. First, the Machaber says, the Dover Ovid. Okay. Go to Shulchan Chamar Lehevi Chalim. You ask a worker to do something so important in his business, the job, because if he doesn't do it, it's going to be ruined. Yeah, let's give it a modern day example, not just the Shulchan Aruch. You ask a band to play a simcha, yeah, or a caterer to turn up at your chasna. If he backs out last moment, then hold on, you've got nothing to do. Can't get into replacements. Okay, so it's the type of work, if he backs out, you're on shtuch, yeah? So normally a worker doesn't just back out of the agreement. That's a special halakha in a worker's rights. They can just back out, as we learned in our shiurim about 7 years ago. A pole can just back out, even after the contract, really can just back out, but not when it's a type of work that there's no such thing as a replacement. Thank you. Ellen Kane, Nellis. Unless the reason why it's back out is because of onus. Oh. Onus, then forget, the Paul can always back out. Paul can always back out if it's onus. It's onus, he can't do it. You can't force him to do something when he's an onus. Could go and shakola, he's ill. Bidut, he's an onus. What do you want of him? He can back out, he's an ill person. What about payments? Okay, he didn't do the job, and he's allowed not to do the job because there's an onus. What about payments? Miu, says the Ramah, you don't need to pay for the whole job that you ask him to do. You only have to pay what he did. So he backs out. You're now stuck for 2 weeks. You've got no claims against him. You can't ask compensation against the worker because it's an onus. But for you to have to pay for those 2 weeks, you don't need to pay for them. As logically we said, from Tzuli, David said that, of course, it's services. You're buying the guy, so of course, you only pay for what you do. So, okay, so you can back out. You've got no claims against him, but you don't have to pay. Okay, very good. Makes all sense to me. Putin the Malamed. Now it starts getting interesting. So he comes out and says, Putin, if he's a teacher, okay, he gets ill, he can't teach, he doesn't get paid, does not get paid for when he's ill. Okay. Miu, now this, hear what the Mordechai says. The Ramah Pasuk seems to masculinize it. Miu. In Kavah Kibu HaPoel Olam Alamed Tzcharo, if he's already received payment for the job, Yeshomim Dein Soch Lachsin, then the worker, even though he's not doing the job now for 2 weeks, he doesn't need to give it back. Right? Why? Why don't you need to give it back? Why don't you need to give the money back? So say you paid up front. But at the end of the day, what am I paying for? I'm paying for services. I didn't get 2 weeks. Give it back. So what if I paid or not paid? Give it back. Why, when I pay up front, then I can't give, you don't get the money back? Why don't you get the money back? Why don't you get the money back? You paid up your services. We're not talking about renting a house where you consider buying the house for 7 days. We're talking about services. You're only paying for he provides. He didn't provide. This guy then didn't apply for 2 weeks' work, which is in business. Okay, so you don't pay. So why, if you already paid, you don't get your money back? Why don't you get your money when you already paid? Something, if anyone's learned Kiddushin over here, it's something to do with the Gemara in Kiddushin.
What, and they be Gufo Kanei? Gufo Kanei?
In what respect?
No, that once you pay for it, then it's like you have a chizah in that work that he's going to do. So you kind of acquired his...
Very good. What does it, Gemara in Kedushin, referring to over there? which you're remembering.
Talking about, one second. If he can, I think if he can chozer, but I'm not sure now. I don't remember now. I know that's the Gemara talking about, but I remember.
We're talking about Evadivri. Evadivri. How many years is Evadivri supposed to work?
Six.
Six.
To Yovel or to Yovel.
Yeah, why is he Evadivri? Why is he Evadivri? Why is he
Evadivri? Machro Beistin or Macharatzmo?
Yeah, so why would Beistin sell him?
He had a chov to somebody.
Why did he have a chov to somebody?
Geneva. He stole something.
He stole, hasn't got any form of payment. They say, okay, payment of what you stole is 6 years' work. Now, what happens for 3 years? He's in bed ill. He's an ill for 3 years. He's in bed, he's ill. Okay. Does he have to be muscling that work? Or does he still go out after 6 years? Does he only now go after out 9 years? Or now he's because he has to make up the work which he missed because he was ill? Or he still goes after 6 years. What does the Gemara say?
I would guess 6 years.
Six years? Right, Tony. A Boki and Shaf. You know? Yeah. So he goes out after 6 years. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? He owes money. Way to pay that money is 6 years' worth of work. He only did three because he's ill for 3 years. He hasn't paid. No, he still goes out.
Because you were conning him for 6 years. So therefore, when it's your gain or loss, depending on how well he works for those 6 years.
So the reason is, the logic behind it is because you actually bought him, even though he's a human being, you bought him for 6 years. An onus happens on what you bought and said 3 years of it, even though which you bought is now out of use because he's in bed. So it's your problem. You paid for it from the beginning. And now he paid you back for everything by selling himself for 6 years. He's already paid you. Now you've got him for 6 years, but he's already paid you. On those 6 years, 3 years, he's in bed. You're lost. You bought something and onus happened afterwards. That's the Gemara. Says the Mordechai, not lavdafka by Evadivri. That's true by every worker. Every worker, if you pay them up front the work, then you've bought the whole work that he's promised to do. Like in our Ganet case, let's say she promised to do the whole month's work of being Ganet. You bought the month's work by paying her up front. You bought a month's work of Ganet, and now it belongs to you. And now she's a bidud for 2 weeks. And therefore, it's an onus happening to what you've already bought. She doesn't need to give back the money, says the Ramah, based on the Mordechai. Onus happened. Okay. So therefore, even though logically we would have thought workers are different from items like renting a house, it comes out, according to this Mordechai, it's exactly the same. When you pay for rent of a house, you bought the rent, according to the Ramah. And when you pay up front for services, you bought that person's work already up front. And if any onus happens, it's onus happening to you. It's onus happening to something you've already bought. You have to suffer. You can't get your money back. That's what the Ramah seems to be saying over here. So we said that they're the same, both renting a house and paying for services ends up being you bought something, onus happens, now you have to suffer. That's what the Ramah seems to be holding.
But he only says Yeshomer. So yes, it's not still Pashit.
Yeah, in both cases it's Yeshomer. Even in the house it's Yeshomer. Both cases it's Yeshomer. It's not Pashit, but he brings it. So whoever is holding the money, if it's a machlokas, that's whoever is considered bought, and therefore whoever pays now won't have to give the money back. So in the case the Ganenet received her wages for the whole month up front, and now she's been put in bidud for 2 weeks, and she can't be a Ganenet for 2 weeks. Does she need to give the money back? There is an opinion that says, no, she doesn't need to give it back because the onus of bidud is to do with all the parents. They already bought her work, and anything that stopped her work happening because of onus is their loss. That's what the Ramah says in the shame of this Mordechai opinion. It's an opinion, but now there is an opinion out there. We have to say, wherever the money is, the parents want their money back. Does she need to give it back based on what we said? No, she won't need to give that because she's holding the money, the Ganenet, and she can say, and there is an opinion that says The onus is your problem, nothing to do with me. You gave them the money. You already paid for it. Okay? So
well, we have a bearing on it?
Copy paste type of situation from renting the hotel room and also, so to speak, renting the Galenic services, both them considered a opinion out there that you bought something and whoever's bought it now, it happens, will have to suffer. So the parents will not get their money back based on that. Yes, Matis, what do you want to say?
Will Minhag Medina have a bearing on the Mordechai?
Minhag Medina will definitely have a bearing on Mordechai, as we'll say, we'll see right to the end. What is that the Minhag Medina will say in such a case? We'll see what the Minhag Medina says in such a case. Okay.
Does it also make a difference if, like, by an Eved, there's no, like, defined work, right? As opposed to, let's say you buy a building and then something happens and the building can't, that you know there's a specific amount of work, or let's say myself, I'm an orthodontist, right? So at the end, you know, if something would happen, you know, and someone would prepay, do they get their money back? But no, the end didn't happen. You know, there's a specific work that has to be done at the end.
Okay, so there's no time periods. So that's different. So of course, you have to, you'll be able to push off delivery of what you promised to deliver. Like in your case, orthodontist, you promised to deliver their teeth being sorted out. And you said it in that it would take 2 months or 3 months, whatever. Now, because of the situation, you're stuck and you can't really work for about 2 or 3 months. Okay, so now you're allowed to push off to 6 months. But of course, you can't say, well, I can keep the money and not give you the service in that case, because it's not a service based on time. But the Ganelit, they can't ever get those 2 weeks back. They can't ever get those 2 weeks back, which they were stuck without a Ganelit. So therefore, it's a permanent loss. Who suffers that permanent loss? We're saying the parents, according to this opinion, the parents do it because they bought her services, and whatever they bought, the owners happened to them and nothing to do with the Ganelit. She doesn't need to give the money back. Okay, so we've copied and pasted two cases together, renting a room in a hotel, so to speak, and also renting services or a Ganelit. Both of them you bought, owners happened to. And stops you getting it is going to be the person who bought it's going to lose in those cases. There is an opinion out there. Of course, there's other opinions who argue, but the money will just define, it stays wherever who's got the money under the table. Now,
why can't you ask the Ganelit to give an extra 2 weeks after the period of time?
Because to add on, because that was not part of that's not part of the service. It's a completely different service. 2 weeks later, would be not Ganelit, it will be a playgroup summer camp. It will be summer camp 2 weeks further. That's not what she's selling. I was never part of the deal. It's not like an orthodontist. He's saying, I'm selling time. Orthodontist is not selling time. Orthodontist is selling the end result, like we said, the teeth construction over there. Yeah, so therefore, it's nothing to do with time. But this is definitely a project that is defined by time. You want something else. I'm not going to give you something else. I promised this house as rent. It fell down. You know, I got another house. You want another house. Well, I got no obligation to promise this house.
She's promising 40 weeks of Ganelit service. So she can't give 2 weeks now. So
she wasn't promised 40 weeks of Ganelit service. If it's constructed in that way of speech, then it ain't not gonna be. But if she was, it wasn't. Ganelit says, I work for you whenever the school timetable of Beis Yaakov is open. Beis Yaakov has a special schedule. They're open here, close them here, open here, close here. I work according to that schedule. Whatever they do, I'll do. So if they go over 2 weeks, then they're not gonna be. You'll be able to make that certain claim. But if they don't, so then you can't force me to give another product. I was never part of my contract. By ser, not stand by. Type of content. Now, let's. So it seems to be we've got everything clear. We haven't got certain that clear of Marcus Medina bit over there. We have certain Mahala. Let's move forward to the next China. And then we'll ask big problems of what we said. And these big problems will hopefully force a certain answer, which gives us clarity and everything. Let's move to our next case. Yeah. So before we move to our next case, I just want to point out number four. If you go to number four, the Shach, in fact, says something very interesting, but it doesn't really affect how we're saying at the moment. The Shach says like this. I look at this Ramah. The Ramah says she doesn't need to give back the rent, her wages, she doesn't need to give it back. I hold by poll, she doesn't produce the work, she needs to give it back. Why? He brought the Gemara Kedushin that says you don't. Lo domi le Eved, Ivri. It's not comparable to Eved Ivri. The Hasam given to Eved Ivri, Gufa Koni lo Bekesev, Eved Ivri, you're actually buying him physically, his hand, his toes, his nose, his head. You're buying him. Over Shtava Chazaka with money, Shtava Chazaka, you're actually buying him. In Kohei Chatzachal, Shus Tavachal, okay, the Eved Ivri gets ill. Like your car can't be used, so whatever you bought, you've lost. So you bought the Eved, you own his hands, it can't work. Okay, so you've lost. But Mashiach King Hocker, but a worker is not an Eved. Like everyone was saying before, it's not comparable to an Eved. A worker is not comparable to Eved. It's just he's providing services. You don't own his hands. You don't own his nose. You don't own his legs. It's just a contract for services. And therefore, if he provides the services, I'll pay. If he doesn't, doesn't. So of course, if his onus happens, he can't provide it. Okay. He can't provide it, but you don't have to pay for it. So the Shach actually argues on the Ramah and holds there's no such thing as not giving back. Even if you get money up front, you still give back the money. So it's a machlokas. Machlokas end of the day between Shach and Ramah. But again, since we said it's a machlokas, whoever's holding the money will have to be able to keep the money. Whoever hold the money that you give enough gemina is you have a shtar, a document. You haven't paid the money. You just signed a contract, which is also like a kinyan. Also, kinyan, the Ramah would still say, since you made a kinyan, that you would have to pay, the parents will have to pay. But the Shah says, no, Shah definitely says, never you pay. And in that case, the money is by the parents in such a case. If the Ganelet hasn't yet cashed the checks, she hasn't put the checks in that such a case, she won't be able to put the checks in because the Shah says, you're not allowed to. We don't hold in this Ramah. Machlokas, the money stays with the parents under those circumstances. But the other day, we have this machlokas, like we have the machlokas by renting a house. There's also a machlokas by workers. Are you actually buying him or you're just paying for service? Now, let's move to our next case. If you move down the picture, move it down, we'll see the picture. This is a very interesting Maisa Shara Kapai. Hear this out. It says like this. Mazel Tov, Reuven has now, his daughter, Reuven's daughter, is now engaged to Shimon's son. Reuven and Shimon are making a chasna. Reuven and Shimon are making a chasna. Now, of course, when you're making a chasna, you have to find a chasna. You have to find a hall. You have to find a hall for the chasna. So they know of you. They know of a hall. Yankala owns a hall, and they're hiding. It's a very good place. They've seen it, gone around, and they make an agreement that says, "Look, Yankala, we want to rent this hall out for the chasna, which is taking place on Tubishvat." Okay, Tubishvat. So he marks down the date. I'm fine. And they said, "We'll get back to you near the chasna to tell you exactly what's the menu we want." Okay, so everything's sorted. Meanwhile, they go away. They book the band, the 5-piece band. Everything's getting exciting. They're buying all the suits and everything. Fine. Now they phone back to Yankala as the time for the chasna comes first. And they phone up Yanka to remember us. We booked the hall. They said, "Yeah, of course, I remember. I wrote it down. Yeah, it's Chaf Aleph Shvat, isn't it? It's Chaf Aleph Shvat." So they said, Yanka said Chaf Aleph Shvat. So they said to Yanka, "What do you mean? It's not Chaf Aleph Shvat. It's two Mishvat." He said, "I wrote down it's Chaf Aleph Shvat." Said, "You made a mistake. You made a mistake. It's two Mishvat. We told you two Mishvat. You just obviously you skipped a week. Obviously you skipped a week." Yeah, so he said, "Fine, oh, okay." So he said, "Okay, so put us on Tubishvat, just check it." So he said, "I can't. I already rented out Tubishvat to somebody else. I already signed a contract with him, and he's already paid money. You have paid no money. I haven't signed a contract with you. I can't back out of you. I can give you Chaf Aleshvat. That's all I can do." So now what happened, the consequences of, obviously, they can't move to Chaf Aleshvat. Everything else is set up for Tubishvat. And the Mela, they had to go and find a new hall. Had to find a new hall. The only hall which was available at such a last minute was in Yerushalayim. Okay, now imagine what the Shaila is now. They moved to the hall in Yerushalayim. What's the Shaila? What's the
sign? You can't have a five-piece band anymore?
You can't have a five-piece band in Yerushalayim. Halacha says, yeah, Minhag Halacha over there. Don't have five-piece bands in Yerushalayim. You can only have one. So they have to contact the musician and says, we're canceling you. We're canceling on you because of the situation. Oh, this happened. Nothing to do with us. Minhag Shamayim, no other wall. This is what we are doing. We have to cancel. You're not shaykh over there. An onus. Now, what's going to be the halacha in such a case? Does the musician in such a case get his money or doesn't he get his money? The onus stopped the musician from working. What are we going to say under those circumstances? Now, he's already got a down payment, this musician. So what should we say the halacha should be?
I need to go back, put it on the plate.
Keep the money.
Keep the money, you're saying.
Can you get me water?
Based on?
I can't. Shut up.
Based on this Rama.
You have
to. The focus Rama and Shah. And
everyone could mute themselves. So whoever's not talking could mute themselves. Thank you.
The focus Rama and Shah. So money stays where it is.
So you're saying the focus. Yeah, so the money should stay where it is. Wherever there's down payments, whoever that down payment should stay where it is based on the machlokas we just had. Worker, have you bought the worker?
The rest.
Have you bought the worker? Machlokas, have you bought the worker? Machlokas. So therefore, if you bought it, then whoever you have bought the musician, so to speak. So therefore, onus happens. Do you get that? You still have to pay the musician. Well, if you bought it, you still have to pay the musician. If you don't, you don't. Machlokas. So the money should stay where it is. Wherever the money is, say, where's machlokas?
I just realized the difference here. The musician didn't start working yet.
But doesn't matter who didn't start working. He got money up front. He's got money up
front. No, still, in all the cases we had, something had started.
All the cases we brought, but not the case of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, when he's bringing this Mordechai down, he says, if you pay the money up front, even before he starts, he pay up front, he doesn't need to give it back. The poll, because now onus happens, is you who bought it is going to suffer. So therefore, you paid the musician up front, you bought the musician, now onus happens that you can't use him, you're going to still have to pay. Here, he didn't give all the money, but at least the money is given should stay with the musician. That's what we should say, based on halacha, sits in machlokas, where the money is to stay. Now, let us see the Shulchan Aruch, what it says, and try and understand how this fits. See, look at number 5, the Shulchan Aruch. If any onus happens to the worker that prevents him from doing his work, then whether it's you can predict this onus in advance or you can't predict this onus in advance, the one who's going to lose out is the poel and he can't get paid. Now, this is a Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah doesn't argue. In fact, he can't argue. It's a Gemara. So how do we fit this statement of the Gemara, this Shulchan Aruch, which the Ramah agrees, how does it fit with the Mordechai we just said? He's saying any onus happens under any circumstances, whether you paid the money, not paid the money, look, makes no difference. The one who's going to lose is the Baal, and if he's got money, he has to even give it back. That's what it's saying over him. What's going on? How does that fit with the Mordechai? It says, if you already paid the money or you made a contract on the on person, then you bought him and the person now is losing is not the worker, it's the Balabais who's losing. Here it says, if the onus happens, the poll is the one who's losing. How's it fit?
Because this case, the onus was Eira la poll, and in the Mordechai's case, it was Eira to the person who's employing him.
What happens in the case of the Shulchan Aruch?
Shulchan Aruch is if the pole couldn't make it to the work site.
No.
For example.
Case of the Gemara is that it was raining and now you were employed to water the fields. You can't water the field because the field is already watered. It's not onus that stops the pole work coming. It's not.
Uh-huh.
And still, he takes this loss. It's an outside onus and the pole gets the loss. Well, according to the Mordechai before, that the loss should be taken by the Balabais. You already bought him. Well, how does he fit with the Gemara? Mordechai can't argue with the Gemara. Even though he's a Rishon, they can't argue with the Gemara. So how is he going to learn? What's the difference between the Mordechai's case and the case of the which we just saw from the Poel, the field that's rained out, basically our Poelim case of the five-piece bands. So he seems to be saying the five-piece bands, yeah, it's an onus, they don't get paid, they have to give back their money. But why? The Mordechai says once you pay, the money stays there because you bought him. That's question number one. Okay, let's move to question number two. Next case. Yeah, go down to the next picture. Back to the notes. There you have a similar Shiloh of the Ganent, also Corona. Here, the one in Bidud is not the Ganenet, but here the one in Bidud is a member of Hagan. One of the children who was in Hagan had to go into Bidud. And now they don't come for Gan for 2 weeks. They don't want to pay, or they want their money back if they've already paid, because they're not getting a service for 2 weeks. Now, what would we say in that scenario when the Ganenet is not in Bidud, but it's the child is in Bidud and can't use the Ganenet because they're out of service for 2 weeks? What should the Mordechai say under those circumstances? Do they have to pay or not pay? Can they get their money back or not get their money back? What would the Mordechai say in such a case?
No, they don't get their money back.
No. Yeah, you would say that you wouldn't get the money back. For sure not. You wouldn't get the money back. Yeah. Let's look at what the Mordechai actually says. Look at number six. Let's see what he says. Mordechai says a psak, which is also brought in Shulchan Aruch. Mi shesocha melamed lebeno, somebody hires a teacher for his child. V'chol ha-talmud, and the one that got ill is not the teacher; it's the boy, the talmud. Im ein rogel bosekali, you can't predict this illness before. Pseita lemamed. The one who loses out is the teacher. He has to give the money back. Even if he's received money, he has to give it back. And this is the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, and the Mordechai saying this. Now we're really confused in halacha, not in understanding. Why? Because what's the Mordechai? Basically, we're saying always that the one who loses is the poel, is the worker. He always loses when the onus happens. In all the cases, except... the Mordechai brings down the case of when the teacher's ill, then the teacher is ill, can't do the services, he does get paid. What's going on? You told me the teacher's ill, he gets paid because you bought the teacher and you've now lost, you still have to pay him. And then you say the child gets ill and can't go to the teacher, then the teacher has to give the money back even if they got money advance. And it's the same person saying that halacha. How does it fit? What's the difference between the teacher getting ill and the child getting ill? You bought. What's your bought? Whoever bought, you should now lose if owners happens. What's the difference? Now, here's the crux of the whole shin. What's the difference between the child getting ill and the teacher getting ill?
So maybe from the child's perspective, they're buying the teacher. But from the teacher's perspective, he's not being bought. So therefore, if the child gets ill, it's no shaychus to the teacher, meaning the child got ill. He's still chayav to make his purchase. By saying if the teacher got ill and the teacher's been bought, so then we do apply as a kinyan.
Repeat what you said. I think you just said the opposite.
I may have said opposite, but my point is that the kinyan part is only one direction, not both directions.
Therefore, what's happened? Who's bought who? Who has bought who when you say it's one direction? Who's bought who?
The child has bought the poet, has bought the teacher.
And therefore, the child's bought the teacher. Now, the teacher gets ill. Do you have to pay?
So now the teacher gets ill, then you still have to pay.
Okay, that's what the Mordechai says. Now, the child gets ill. Do you have to pay?
You don't have to pay.
Why?
That's what I was saying about the purchase part. So what's the whole reason why you have to pay if the teacher gets ill? It'd be said because it's like a kinyan.
Yes.
So therefore, it's like a kinyan.
What does kinyan mean? You bought 4 weeks, a month of her services now belongs to you. Whether you turn up or you don't turn up, it's your decision. You have to pay. Right. So therefore, so you can't turn up whether because you chose not to turn up, then you pay. Even right. if you can't turn up because an onus happens, you still have to pay. So who cares if you can't turn up because the teacher says not to turn up, or you can't turn up because the mother of the child says he can't turn up. In both cases, you have to pay. Of course you can, you should say. If the teacher phones you up and says, you can't come for 2 weeks, and you still have to pay, then call Shugain. If the parent phones up and says that my child can't come for 2 weeks, for sure they should have to pay. But we're not saying that. We're saying the teacher gets ill, you do need to pay. But the child, you don't. Where's
the child's getting punted from paying because it's my own. If I'm the child, it's my own onus. So forget about that purchase part now. I have an onus. An onus makes me punter. I am now punter from paying for whatever I'm paying for because I'm not going.
Who has the onus?
The child has an onus. If the child's sick, the child has an onus. The child now has an onus, and therefore he's exempt from doing what from he's punter. It's like not his fault.
Yeah, and Kolshukei, he's punter. Kolshukei, when he says, I want to come, and the teacher says, I'm shutting the door and you can't come in. I'm knocking on the door. Let me in, says the child. And the teacher says, I'm not letting you in. So
that was a purchase. That was a purchase.
You haven't explained it, I'm afraid. You're trying. I give you credit for trying. The others are not even trying. You're trying. So let's see tonight the words of the Machne Ephraim. And this is very close to the end where we're finishing. Machne Ephraim says like this, as an answer. I'm going to tell you what the difference is. I'm going to say the following. The Sphere the Ram, which is the Mordechai, which basically, the Malamed Gufa Kondel of Advice. Like Tuli was saying, he's bought the Ganenet. Okay. But if the child gets ill, he's bought the teacher. The teacher gets ill, you suffer because that's what you bought. But when the child gets ill, you can't say the mother has lost. She bought the child. She didn't buy the child. Kibbutz Shalom, no Shemres, and Bikino Shemlamitz. There's nothing wrong with the item that she bought. The teacher is well. The teacher's happy to give her services. There's nothing wrong in that, what she bought. She bought the teacher, and therefore there's nothing wrong. Therefore, since there's nothing wrong, you can't say it's your time. You can't say those words. You can't say it's your tough luck. This is an onus for you. When you can say it's an onus for you, is what you bought, there's something wrong in it. But if there's what you bought, there's nothing wrong with it, you can't say it's your onus. So what's he answering? That's the Machlev that I was trying to give his answer. He's saying, you bought the teacher gets ill, so therefore the onus has happened in what you bought, which is similar to the words that Tully just said. So therefore, since it happened what they bought, you have to suffer, you have to pay, because it's your thing you bought. That's a problem over here. But if the child gets ill, there's no one's bought the child. So it's an onus preventing the service to be performed, but we can't pinpoint it on whose fault it is. Whose fault is this onus? Who's this onus affecting? We can't say who it's affecting. Now, those are his words. I would like to explain it better, of course. But I'm now giving as the final option to the crowds over here to redeem themselves over here from tonight's participation attempt over here is trying to explain what exactly is the Machne Ephraim answering. How is he find answers? There's a difference between the teacher and the child. What is his answer? What's he said? What exactly did he say? What does his words mean as being an answer? What's he saying?
I could try again if no one wants to, but I want to give someone else a chance.
when the child can't make it, there's no purchase. The child is purchasing the teacher's being there. The teacher can't be there, then the purchase was still created. Just there's an onus as far as the Mekayim it. When the child can't be there, then there's no, he's not affecting the purchase.
So therefore, why aren't you paying? Why don't you pay if the child can't be there? It's not affecting the set purpose. No, why aren't you paying? Why aren't you paying?
There's no purchase. He doesn't want to purchase in such a situation. Purchase doesn't begin. The purchase doesn't begin when the child's not stepping up to the plate.
Maybe moving a bit forward by a centimeter over there. Yeah. Tully, you want to add?
I'm going to try. Normally, with an onus, a person should be off the hook. With any sort of halacha, throughout life, a person suffers an onus, it can't perform because of an onus, they're off the hook. That's the normal klal, and that's the klal that goes across the board, and a child would have that klal of being punted from paying because they couldn't do something short because of an onus. We've got a chiddush here, l'gabe the teacher. When the teacher is bought, he now will lose his onus p'tur. The onus p'tur that everyone else gets, including this child, the teacher loses that p'tur, so to speak, and it will also benefit the teacher, actually, but loses the p'tur in the sense that he's purchased, and therefore, if he's prevented from performing due to an onus, no problem, her payment still has to happen because his time was purchased. But since the child's time was not purchased, he goes back to regular
office. Tully has done excellent work this week, and he's come up close to the answer. As much we want to get this week, obviously we're going to develop it further. What seems to be saying is like this, that an onus, like we said, is a reason not to be able to be liable. Oh, this happens, it's not my fault, not, I don't have to pay. Okay. But we say, if we can pinpoint and say, the onus is only affecting you and not me, so therefore you have the onus, I don't have the onus, so that I can say, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be affected and not me, so therefore you have to still pay. If you say that onus is broad and is affecting everybody and nobody can help themselves, so therefore everyone's off the hook, that's it, it's affecting everybody. But if we can pinpoint and say, the onus that Hashem is bringing dafka on you because Hashem wants you to be affected and nobody else, you're the one who has to now bear the burden because Hashem has had a shivan from Shemai that you're the one who has to lose over here because he's only affecting you and nobody else. So therefore, when you buy the teacher and then the teacher gets ill, then we can say that Hashem has made the teacher ill because Hashem wants you to lose money. Hashem wants, and nobody else, it's definitely affecting you more than anybody else. Because it's what you bought that's now Hashem has made that what you bought now useless for the next 2 weeks. So Hashem is this, he's saying over here that you should lose. Okay. But if the child gets ill, no one bought the child, just all the child getting ill means is that the two parties, the one providing the services, one seeing the service, can't get together. Those two got to both of them being affected without us knowing which one Hashem wants to affect. We don't know who the one that Hashem wants to affect. So in such a case, since we don't know who wants to affect, then you don't need to pay. That's what it seems the B'machne of Fine saying. Okay, it sounds very lofty in terminology, but it's exactly what Tula said. So of course, he's not going to argue what he said. We're going to,
no, but I'm going to argue on that.
Hold on. I want to just finish my words over here. He says, we're saying it's very lofty and spiritual over here. Yeah, but we're going to obviously put this into terminology next week. Of how it works, the mechanics, but the hashkafa behind it is that if we can pinpoint who the onus is on and who it's not on, then the one who's on will have to pay and the one who's not on will not have to lose. But if we can't pinpoint it, then everybody's off the hook. And the Malamed case, he gets ill, the Ganella gets killed, that ill, then we know it's more on the person obviously who bought it, and therefore the parents are going to have to pay. But if the child gets in, no one's bought the child, it's just preventing them to get together. It's broad onus, stopping services being performed. So therefore, no one has to pay. Lofty at the moment, we'll be mechanical next week in why that works. So that is the logic behind the difference over here. Now, if so, before to be asked a question, because we've only had some time, therefore, what's going to be the halacha now in our two cases of bidud. What's going to be three cases? Bidud, the cases of what's our three cases? the case of the Ganenet, who was in Bidud, can't perform her services 2 weeks. She's ready to cash those checks. Does she need to give it back or not? What's going to be the halacha?
She doesn't have to give it back.
She doesn't need to give it back because there is opinion that says that you've acquired her. The onus has happened in what you acquired. You have to suffer. She doesn't need to give it back. Okay. In the case of where the child gets ill, now can't come to the gan. It doesn't get ill. The child's in bidud, can't come to the gan for 2 weeks. Does the parents have to pay under those circumstances?
No.
Can they get the money back?
No.
Can they get the money back?
Yes.
When the child gets ill, everybody agrees what we saw, that the Mordechai, even the Mordechai agrees, when the child's in bidud, and therefore is an onus affecting both parties that they can't get together, then of course the one who loses is the pearl. He can't get his money for services which he hasn't provided. You only pay for what you get. You can't pay for what you didn't get. And we can't see here the onus as affecting one person more than the other. So therefore, they'll go back to status quo. You pay for what you get. You didn't get for 2 weeks, so therefore you don't need to pay. So the parents of the child don't need to pay in the case that their own child's in bidud, but they do need to pay if the ganenitz is in bidud. Now, is that the what's going to be with the case of the hall, the chasnah hall? The chasnah hall, hire the five-piece band. They can't use this five-piece band because now they're in Yerushalayim. Do they have to pay to the musician? Can they get the money, the down payment back at all?
Mustama, they get the money back.
But where's the onus there? Is there an onus in making the musician ill?
No.
Is there an onus stopping the musician turning up?
No.
No. So therefore, is it comparable to the ganenet getting ill, or is it comparable for the child getting ill? What's it comparable to?
The child.
In the child getting ill, you don't get paid your wages. So therefore, the bands also don't get paid the musicians, and they have to give back the money which they receive. So both in the case of the five-piece bands and the child getting ill, they have to give, the workers have to give their money back to the person who hired them. But in the case where the ganenet is ill, or the ganenet is in bidud, she gets paid because you have acquired her and the onus is happening too. That's what the conclusion would say. Now, la halacha la maisa, in the case of the ganenet, what's going to be? We'll go to Matzis now, the last marlokim on the sheet. This is the last one we're saying tonight. This is the bottom line with the ganenet case, where the child's in bidud, or the ganenet's in bidud. What la maisa are we going to say, even if money's been taken up front? Go to number 8, go down one more. Says the Pischei Choshen. Firstly, Kosev Hagon Rabbi Afandi Shadas Haram Hudas Yochid. Af Kimli En Yocholomzen. Firstly, there's many Boti Dinim who say this Ramah, this Mordechai is a Das Yochid that says by workers you can actually buy them. It's a Das Yochid. Most opinions say that by workers you cannot buy a worker. It's not like a house, not like an Eved Ivri. It's like what the Shach says. So a lot of Boti Dinim do not even relate to the Ramah's opinion. You can't say Kimli, so if you haven't bought him, you only pay for what you get. So if the Ganenit is in Bidud, she has to give the money back according to a lot of Boti Dinim. And even the Boti Dinim who do relate to the Ramah and say, you don't need to give the money. There's a minag out there. Zmanenu, yesh minag kubur, b'in tashlum yemei machla. The rule is, you go according to what the minhag of workers in this country is, that there's certain days they can take ill and still get paid. Depending on what industry you're in, what are the amount of days you get ill, you still going to get paid. Over that time, you can't get paid. Unless you make a special condition in the contract. Now, most ganenets make the following condition in their contract. They say that if for any reason they can't open up one or a few days, they'll try and find a replacement, but if they can't, you still need to pay. So therefore, if it's a small period of time, then based on that condition, a small period of time, they will still need to pay. If that small period of time they can't have a gun for every reason, they still need to pay, because that's the condition she actually wrote in the contract. And even if you haven't paid, you're going to have to pay based on that condition. But if it's a long period of time, then Enoch Anami, then you're not going to have to pay. So Lamaisa, before any contract, any minhag, we're going to say it depends on who's holding the money, whether you get your money back when the ganenit is ill. But after the contract, whether the ganenit is ill or whether the child is ill, they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay because that's part of the condition. The condition is, your child doesn't turn up, you're going to still have to pay. If I can't perform my services, you're still going to have to pay if it's for a limited amount of time. So the condition that's actually written in both those circumstances will force payment to a certain obligation in such a case. The child, always when they're ill, will have to pay, even though that's not exactly that's the opposite halacha, but the condition overrides the halacha. And the case where the ganenit is ill, you're going to have to pay, even if you haven't paid, you're still going to have to pay if it's a small period of time based on the condition that's written in the contract. So therefore, tonight, the only lemaisa where the halacha is applied is in the five musicians case, where we say in the case of the five musicians, and now you cancel on them, do you get their money? Do you get the answers? Not only they don't get the money, they have to give the money back because the onus is not in them. The onus is outside them. It's not making them ill. It's making other things, preventing them getting together. Next week, Mitzvah Shem will explain the mechanics how it works. But the bottom line, which you have to remember tonight, is that if the onus isn't what you bought, then there's a halacha, that's a possibility that once you paid, there is opinions out there that you can't get it back because it's in you and Hashem wants you to lose. But if the onus is not in what you bought, but there's an onus that prevents you two getting together, but not a problem in what you bought. There's nothing wrong in what you bought, just stops you getting together. The Enoch Anami halacha will dictate in such a case that you don't get paid for services which aren't performed. Have a wonderful week and siyata d'shmaya, and think about these opinions during the week, get clarity, and we'll move forward into our more corona shilas next week. Have a good
one. Good
luck. Good luck.